right? We are in our series here on being a disciple. We have switched it up from disciples are followers, is which we looked at for the first 10 lessons, and we're switching it up to disciples accept requirements. Disciples accept requirements. We started that last week. Luke chapter 9, verse 61 and 62. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go, bid them farewell where it's at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Seems to me, as I read the Bible, that Jesus made it seriously clear that following him, being a disciple, there's just things you got to do. And it's not just, oh, whoop-dee-dee, someone said they want to follow me. He's like, no, 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 no. Here's the situation. Here's what it takes. And you got to appreciate that, because he's telling you up front what it's all about so that we don't get into it and say, hey, what was that? So we started that last week. We said that a disciple is one who will accept the requirements of being a disciple that are set forth in Scripture. In Scripture. By way of introduction last week, we said that before you were saved, you were faced with a choice. The choices were, will I accept God's free gift of eternal life, or will I reject God's free gift of eternal life? That's the first choice we are all faced with. Will we take salvation? We said last week that if you receive salvation, you have a great eternity. It's all good. The worst in heaven, if there's a worst, would far outweigh anything that's good on earth. Amen. You think of the best life someone could, not Joel Osteen, but the best life anybody could live on this earth and everything they have, and they live the perfect life on this world. Everything that's good, all that stuff, they get to heaven, that's nothing. Okay? Heaven's a wonderful place. But if they reject the gospel, it's a bad eternity. Okay? What is eternity? Hell. It's not good. At all. Read Luke 16. Meditate on that for a while. It's not good. Thank God we're saved. Now, we accept salvation. We've made the right choice. But there's another choice. If you make the right choice about salvation, then you are still faced with a choice. Will I decide to be a disciple and true follower of Christ, or will I decline to be a disciple and follower of Christ? Hey, if you decline, you're an unsuccessful disciple. If you decide, you're a successful disciple. Now, I will say this. I don't want to let off the hook. Everybody that trusts Christ ought to be a disciple. To be honest with you, they just should be. I don't comprehend how they can't, okay? If you're saved and the Spirit of God lives inside of you, especially if you've come to church at all, you ought to want to serve God. You ought to want to just do the right thing. You ought to want to be his disciple and not just slide through and not just get by. And that's what he desires for you. So, with all that said, let's get into the meat of this subject, which we'll look at for several weeks. There's more than one point, but each point could be a whole lesson, and usually is in and of themselves. We don't have a lot of time tonight, so I may not even finish this point. But I want us to see, here are some of the requirements of a disciple. Number one is the requirement of understanding. The requirement of understanding. If you've been here any length of time in this series, you should already have a little bit of that, but I want us to just make it clear. Luke 14, 27, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, what does it say? Cannot be my disciple. This whole thing that we throw out there, like, well, you know, you just love Jesus and let's be, it's not what he says. Okay, let's just shoo that. Jesus says this is what it is. I'm not saying don't be patient. I think we ought to be patient. I'm not saying let's be mean-spirited. There's nothing good in that either. What I'm saying is we are doing Christians a disservice to not say, look, there's just some requirement. There's some you can't be his disciple if you're not willing to do what he says. It's called honesty. I heard that was the best policy. Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Not happening. These verses show that Jesus set forth a standard for those who wish to be his disciple. Let's all say that word together. We're not cussing. Ready? Standard. He sets it. We don't like that. I don't like it. Okay? Why does your school have a rule book? I don't like rules, but you got to have them. Because if not, you have anarchy and you have all kinds of garbage going on. And since you asked, it might help. Let me pick up the paper while I'm doing this. It might help if you don't fight those rules if your kids are in our school. Okay. And the spirit just got all over me there. Okay. Here's what you do when you do that. It has nothing to do with the lesson. The Lord just laid that on my heart. Here's what you're doing. You're teaching your kids to go against the rules. And you're teaching your kids that, aha, if I go home and whine, mommy or daddy comes running to my side. That's ridiculous. Now, I will say this on the flip side. If you feel something should be addressed, don't tell little Leo. Sorry. You could talk to the teacher about, hey, can you help me understand this? And they'll help you understand it. But let's not, anyhow, okay. Just be nice tonight. But standard, Jesus says, look, he says this is what you got to do. Okay? It's not legalism. It's not hard, rigid Christianity. It's Jesus. I just follow Jesus, man. Well, what requirements of Jesus are you? We don't like requirements. And we just want to act like the Bible's just not, like, dude, man, it's just grace, man. Just totally grace, and I just love Jesus and all that stuff, dude. Well, good. If you love Jesus, follow his requirements. It's not just, what if I just say, oh, man, I just love my wife so much. I'll be home in a couple weeks. Actually, she'd probably like that. Let me backtrack a minute. It's like, or I never want to be part of her life. I don't want to be part of the family. Do I really love them, or is it just words? So Jesus is just like, look, by the way, they're not bad. They're not hard. But we have to understand there is a standard that he has set. And if you were not willing to fulfill that standard or requirement, you cannot be a disciple, and you are not a disciple. So if Jesus says you got to do this or you can't be a disciple, and you choose not to do this, but you want to run around pretending you're a disciple, you're not. Well, I go to church. Praise God for that. That if you don't come to church, you're not going to be a disciple in any way anyhow. But just coming to church doesn't make you a disciple. I could sleep in our garage. I won't say that I've had to on occasion, but I could sleep in my garage, but I'm not a car. Being in a garage doesn't make me a car. I could drink gas. Probably kill me, but you know, that doesn't make me a car. Okay? That doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't make you a disciple either. See, so we have to understand what Jesus wants. And by the way, Jesus is loving and Jesus is patient, right? But he wants us to get there. So you got to do this. He's not saying that because he doesn't want us to be his disciple. He tells us the truth because he's letting us know what it takes to be a disciple and he wants us to get there. And more importantly, you must understand that you are not the one who determines the standards and requirements. We don't. I can't decide what it is that I'm supposed to do. Jesus has to decide that. Okay, he is Lord, right? So let's just try to get in his program. That's the whole point I'm trying to make here. So, discipleship is different than being a Christian or just being saved. It takes us to a greater level. Now, I want to, by way of introduction of understanding these requirements, I want us to look at some verses that really make this clear. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I've preached on it before. I reference it. It's they're just some of the best verses in the Bible. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, okay, who's he talking to? Saved people. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. By the way, I was reading something and someone says, if you're a Christian, you're automatically a disciple. I don't agree with that. I think you should be. I think the fruit ought to be there. It ought to come. But to say you ought, if that's true, why would Paul say, I'm begging you, brethren, to do this? They'd already do it. Okay. And then read 1 Corinthians 3 if you believe that. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. There has to be a time you present it, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, when they gave the sacrifices in the Old Testament, they had to give them the correct way. They couldn't just say, you know, I feel like doing this. God's like, that's not how it works. You had to give the right sacrifice for the right occasion in the right way. And if you didn't, it wasn't accepted. And so he's saying here, that's what we're doing. This is what God wants us to do. That would be wholly acceptable unto God. And then he says, which is your reasonable service. You know what he's saying? It adds up. Reasonable means it's right. It makes sense. It just adds up. It is not unreasonable for the one who saved us to say, I've saved you now. I want you to present yourself to me as a living sacrifice. That is totally reasonable. Nothing unreasonable about that. Yep. Nothing. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Don't just be pushed into the mold, but be ye completely different by the, and he tells us how, by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does this mean? These verses show that a Christian has some decisions to make as to what level of Christian they will be. The level we're looking for is discipleship level. Being a disciple. Okay? By the way, that ought to be the goal of our lives. The goal of our lives, you say, man, I fall short so often. Okay, let's just start that line right here, okay? Of course. But I'd rather fall short trying. I'd rather fall short trying to get there than to not try at all. Okay, I'd rather fall short and say, Lord, that was really ignorant of me. Forgive me and help me to get right back on the track. So what level of Christian will they be? Answer these questions. Four of them from the verses here. Will they be the one who has decided to present themselves to God for greater service? You got to decide that. Will you present yourselves? See, you have an issue now. The issue is I'm saved. I've trust Christ. Now, am I going to take my body, everything about me, it represents all that I am, and I'm going to decide to present that to God as a living sacrifice. They did not have trouble with the dead sacrifices in the Old Testament. You had to burn them on the altar. Guess what? It's pretty easy to move a dead animal. You throw it on the altar and you start the fire, that animal isn't leaving. It's dead. See, we're a living sacrifice. Sometimes we feel the heat and we jump off the altar. It's kind of a process there. We have to present ourselves. God doesn't want us to be a dead sacrifice. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. Lord, my life I sacrifice. In other words, it is no longer my life. I'm sacrificing that and I'm presenting it to you for whatever you want. Why don't we do that? Usually lack of trust. We don't trust that God's going to give us the life that we want. Maybe it's simplicity or ignorance. We think that the way to get to the what I want in life is to do this, this, and this when God may disagree. But the fact of the matter is, all of us, every single individual in this room needs to have come to the point in their life where they say, I am a living, I'm dedicated to you, Lord. What do you want? I'm giving it up right there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by mercy, you present your bodies present. Secondly, will they be the one who has decided to live a life that is acceptable to God and not themselves? Will they decide to live a life that is acceptable to God and not themselves? So you give yourselves a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable unto God. Hey, let's get away with this thing that God just accepts whatever we bring. Now, again, that's why there's a difference between salvation and discipleship. Okay, being a disciple. Salvation, come just as you are. Okay? Discipleship is, don't stay the way you were. It's discipleship. Yep. God accepts us coming in humility, confessing our sins, and turning to Christ in belief that He is the one who saves us, and there's nothing I can do to save myself. He's the one that forgives my sins, because my sins are so bad, I deserve hell. That's all that takes. But when we come to Him after that, He wants us to come as a living sacrifice. I've mentioned it so many times, and I get irritated every time I see it. God, the church by our house, God doesn't reject anybody, neither do we. That's a lie. What they're saying is, and by the way, it's wrapped in rainbow colors. God, it's like you just come to God any way you want and He'll take it. That's not true. If we don't come to God for trusting in Him only for salvation, we're not saved. Yeah. You ain't getting it. And if we don't come to God on His terms, Lord, I'm here, whatever you want, He doesn't accept that. Lord, I'll come, but I'm only gonna do the things that I feel are right. I'm not gonna do, then you're not going to be accepted. He wants acceptable sacrifice. And the acceptable sacrifice is really simple. Your body, I'm here. You get all of me. Yep. You say, man, that's not much in my case. It must be much because God wants it. Yep. You got to think about it. If God wants you, you're a big deal.
That's right.
We look down on ourselves like, no, God wants you. Because He wants you to be transformed and be something wonderful. We lose out when we don't do that. So will we be the one who decides to live a life acceptable unto God and not themselves? Next, will they be the one who has decided to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in the way they live? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So apparently the brethren he's talking to had a choice as to whether they were just like the world, just like the way they were before, or they're going to be completely different, transformed, totally new. We talked about that on a Sunday morning, a little bit the last few weeks. God wants us to be new, transformed. You know the Transformers, I don't know if they sell them anymore, a car becomes a robot. And a robot goes back to being a car. A robot and a car are two completely different things. They're transformed. God wants to transform you. He wants you to be a car. He wants you to be different than you were before. God doesn't want you to be the same. But can I just tell you something? You will not change unless you decide to change. You will not be transformed unless you decide to let God transform you. Now, He tells us how to do that. By the renewing of our mind and so forth. But it's not going to happen if we don't decide to. Paul's saying, brethren, I'm begging you, do this. Get on the discipleship side. Will they decide to be conformed? Too many Christians are satisfied with just being like, we want to hide in the weeds. We want to look and act just, and I'm not saying a Christian looks weird, okay? You know what I'm saying. We just want to be like everybody else, nondescript, not standing out. We ought to stand out not because we're arrogant, not because we're rude. We ought to stand out because they say, your boss ought to look at you at work and say, something different about that person. Yeah. They work hard, they don't cause trouble, and they'll do whatever I say. Sometimes, and I got it. I worked in a union warehouse. Not my job. I did a lot of things there that weren't my job because the boss asked me to. Yep. Maybe he knew it because he knew I wasn't going to say, hey, it's not my code number. It's like, you need that done, I'll go do it. Amen. That's what you want.
Yep.
Okay? And so you ought to be noticeable in some way, different. And then another question to ask ourselves, if we're trying to decide what level of Christian or disciple we're going to be, will they be the one who has decided to be a witness to this world of the fact that the will of God is best? Now, what happens when we do all this? He's doing it that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You prove it by doing these things. Okay? Too many people have this thing that the will of God is something to be feared. Well, he's going to send me to Antarctica. No, that's not God, that's me. Okay, I'll send you to Antarctica. You know, I'll be miserable in my life. No, you won't. Well, yes, you will if these were true. God hates you. Is that true? God wants what's worse for you. Is that true?
No.
Then apparently, if you follow God and his will, it'll be all right.
Yeah.
If we trust him. Right. You got to look and say, you know what? Following God, doing, and his will isn't just where he's sticking you. Okay, his will is doing everything the Bible says. People ought to look and say, you know, it must be good to be a Christian. See, most of them look at Christians and like, they must be confused because they say one thing and they do another. You think the reason that Christianity has lost favor in our country, one amongst many other reasons, of course, you know, the world hates Christians, is the fact that Christians are just so blah? We're running to every social agenda now. We are. The majority of people in this country call themselves Christians. They are no different than anybody else. And the world looks at them and says, they're a joke. Hey, maybe there's a reason that our world is afraid to say anything that can be perceived as anti-Muslim, anti-Islam. But those same people have no problem getting up and cutting down Christianity, Christ, and everything else. You know why? Because Christians just, they're not different. They get up and say something negative about Christians and we're like, oh, we must be bad people. They're afraid of Muslims. Oh, you're Islamophobe. They're not Christophobe. You know why? Christians don't even act like Christians. We don't. And by the way, there ought to be something such as righteous indignation. When one of our political leaders, regardless of their party, gets up and says and does something stupid, we ought to get up and say, excuse me, that's not scriptural. But we don't want to do that. By the way, we get more of our beliefs from CNN or MSLSD than we do the Bible. I'll just be honest with you. We say things about moral issues that are totally anti-scriptural. Where we get, they know that we don't really believe what we say we believe, and they look at our Christianity and say, why would I want that? You got to look at you and say, you know, you're not perfect, but you seem joyful. I mean, you know, I'm at home watching my team lose on Sundays and you're out at church and you're doing this and that. And it seems like your family's doing pretty good. It seems like you're pretty happy. Maybe there is something to that serving God thing. It only comes when you're a disciple. The point is, are we going to choose to be one? So we'll get into it next week, but the basic understanding, a potential disciple, and by the way, you're not a potential disciple until you're saved. The basic understanding a potential disciple is required to comprehend is this: there is a difference between being a disciple and being a believer. There was a difference between them getting out of Egypt. Now listen, and I'm done. There was a difference between them getting out of Egypt and entering into Canaan. There was. The way they got out, God parted the Red Sea, salvation. The way they got into the Promised Land, they had to stick their foot in the water and they had to go fight. Okay? They didn't fight Pharaoh's army. God drowned all of them. But when they got into Canaan, it's like, it's on. Now, God fought for them. And you know what that middle ground was? The wilderness. What was that, like a 10-day journey? It took them 40 years. Apparently, they didn't have GPS. Okay? No. You know why it took that long? Because they chose not to be a disciple. I'm going to live in the wilderness. Wasn't God's choice. That was theirs. And so my admonishment is, be here on Thursdays and hear everything we're teaching, but let's be a disciple. Amen. Let's choose the good path.
Yes, sir. Let's pray.